Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm just excited to be in the house of God and excited to be used as a vessel for Him and His kingdom. Amen. I'm going to pray and we're going to get going. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for another day, dear God, another time, dear God, we're here together in your presence. I pray to God that your word would produce life in our lives, oh God. It would produce spiritual life in us, dear God, that we would hear your word and not just be hearers only, but doers, as your word says. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say amen. Now, I've been talking about the last couple weeks. Two weeks ago, I started on, and I'm not going to give a long recap, but I talked about being crucified with Christ, the importance of that. What that looks like. We have to die to self. Also, last week I talked about dying to your own will. Amen? And it's important that we understand the willing sacrifice that we must become part of to partake in what Christ has for us. Amen? If you want to hear those full sermons, you can always check out the podcast. Even share it with some other people, man. Maybe they need to hear it. You know, don't beat them over the head with it. Like, they said something that you needed to hear today. Just say, hey, man, it'd be good for you to check it out and just let the Spirit of God move from there. Amen. But we're going to jump into Matthew chapter 21. And I'm going to read 18 through 32 today. And we talked about dying to our will, but we must also be willing to do what God has called us to do. Amen? So it's one thing to die to your own will, right? We're dying with Christ. And if we die with Christ, the Bible talks about we will also be raised with him. But we also have to be raised in the will of God. Amen? So what does that look like? If God asks you to do something, many times, I'll say, myself included, I said, no, I don't want to do that, God. Have you ever did that? God, I need sister so-and-so. Can you do this for me? And you're like, oh, man, I might not look. God, I heard you, but it might put me in a weird position. But God requires you to surrender your will and accept his will for you. A couple things we have to know before I hop into that is that God knows what is best for you. We have to trust that. When it comes to dying to our will, the only way we will do that is if we understand fully that God knows what is best. Even Job said, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. All right? Now, Job had to be in a certain place for him to say that. You just can't say those words out your mouth and really mean them. And since we have it in the word of God, I know that Job really meant what he said. So we're going to talk about the will of God, but first we're going to talk about a fig tree. Somebody say, a fig tree. It says, now in the morning as he returned to the city, he is Jesus, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately, the fig tree withered. Okay. So, Jesus is hungry. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever went to a cherry tree and there's no cherries on it? Right? And it was supposed to be cherries, though? That's not good. Are you looking for blackberries and it's blackberry season? How many of us like blackberries in here? My wife used to find blackberries and put them in ice cream and all kind of stuff. You know, I did that as a kid as well. Had to wash them first. Please wash your blackberries. You'll know what goes on outside when you ain't there. But imagine it's blackberry season and it smells good. You know the smell because, you know, the plump blackberries smell different. So you go out there and then there's none that are ripe. Have you ever did that? As a kid, I had. Maybe somebody came before you and picked them and there was none that were ripe. And how did you feel? Disappointed. Jesus goes to this fig tree expecting to eat a fig. And I've never seen a fig fruit in my life. I gotta go to Jerusalem to see that. I'm going to have to look it up. But he is expecting figs from this tree, and this tree is, for lack of a better words, figless. Which, when I look at this scripture, this thing that God created to do something was not doing what God created him to do. Why? Maybe that fig tree, and we're just talking about a tree, so I think I can use this. Maybe that fig tree thought, I'm not going to bear fig trees because that apple tree looks like he got more customers over there. Or that orange tree seems like everybody's going over there. Maybe my figs are not so important. And it's kind of like people because, you know, we look at ourselves and we look at that church or we look at that person at your job. And then you kind of look at what you do and what God has created you to do. And you're like, I don't know if I'm good enough for what God wants. I don't even know if people really care about what I'm doing. And sometimes we get into our quote unquote spiritual pity parties because we don't see what we do unto God as important enough. And I've been there before. And you kind of complain, God, well, it'd be great if you just make it seem like it's important. But guess what? When you are in those seasons, your obedience is huge. Your obedience to do what God has called you to do is huge. Tell your neighbor, produce some figs. Produce some figs. You have figs to produce in your life that nobody else can produce. Okay? There is a calling. Let me just break it down in real language. There is a calling that God has put on your life that only you can do, but you must say yes to his will. I remember my wife, we were called, they called my music group. We do Christian hip hop, and at one time we were doing praise and worship. So this pastor was like, hey, I need you guys to come here on a Sunday and do praise and worship. And one of the sisters, her name is Chase. You guys have met her before. She does devotionals. So she had some devotionals. She read the devotional. And while we're there, Precious is like, man, I'm supposed to tell this lady something, but I don't know. I'm scared because, you know, and Precious always says, little old me, what am I going to do? You know, she always say that, right? But she gets up and goes and talks to this pastor that was there and tells her a word from God, okay? Now, the lady had been praying. This is how God works. You might think your little word that he has spoke to you is going to be insignificant, but when you speak it, it's going to bring volumes to somebody. See, look, you can give, let's say there's two different people. You can give somebody water, and they're not really thankful. But if somebody is thirsty and is in real need of water and you give that water, he's going to be thankful for the rest of his life. So that's why it's important to know who you're going to go to. Because, look, I can bring the water hose. And if you don't want water, what good is it? We're just wasting water. But if God tells you to give this man a cup of water, and you're like, God, this is just water. What good is it? I don't see that he really needs it. You have to trust that God knows best. Produce figs. Amen. Verse 20 says, and when the disciples saw it, and we're in Matthew chapter 21 again, verse 20, and when the disciples saw it, when they came back, they marveled, saying, how did this fig tree wither away so soon? When I read that, Maybe we see people that were with God, and then you're like, how did they fall away so fast? Because they weren't doing what God called them to do. Now, I'll be very clear when I say this. If I didn't understand the purpose of God, church would not be something I would do. Right? Because I feel like my relationship with God is going to cause me to live a certain way. It's going to cause me to do and walk in a purpose that he has for me. People that just go to church but don't realize the purpose they have for God, they get bored of church. Okay? Church just becomes like school. You come, listen to a sermon. Hopefully you were paying attention. Hopefully you passed the test, right? Hopefully. But when you start applying this stuff to your life and you start walking in it, not just on Sunday, oh, I got this word. Okay, let me go Monday. Okay, Monday, I heard that word. How can I put that in my spirit? Okay, Pastor Marquise said on Saturday, I have to produce figs. Now, don't really produce figs, okay? If you do that, that'd be incredible. But produce whatever God has for you to do. If God is telling you just to start walking on your block and praying, do it. Okay? If God has called you to do something, you be obedient and do it. I don't care how insignificant you think it is going to be. You be obedient and do it. That's your fig. That's your fig. You have to trust the will of God. Amen? So they say, how did the fig tree wither so fast? Because they were not obedient. When you are not obedient to the Spirit of God, what begins to happen is you begin to avoid the voice of God. And by continuing to avoid the voice of God, you begin to walk in your own plan and your own purpose. Back in your own will. And we know that the Bible says this, many are the ways of a man, but the plans of God will prevail. I can map out my whole life thinking I got it all right, but if I don't trust God, what good is it? Because we all like grass wither away. Your plans wither away. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So Jesus talks about how to, they're worried about the fig tree, and he's teaching them that faith happens when you believe. Without a shadow of doubt. He said, oh, look, okay, look, because I believe that this fig tree wasn't bearing fruit, it was shut down. But guess what? If you believe that the enemy cannot run rampant in your family, if you believe and you are praying, guess what's going to happen? He's not going to run rampant. Okay? One thing that I do, when I drop my kids off at school, I pray for the school. I pray for the parents, the teachers, the staff. I did this before all the shootings and stuff happened, okay? Let's just be clear about that. Okay, I'm not going to live in fear. And I really believe that all these things happening is to create fear. I see kids posting on social media, I'm scared because I don't want to go to school because I don't know if something's going to happen. Guess what? That's the enemy. You know it's the enemy. It's a spirit of fear. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. When you are in fear, you don't think with power. You don't think with love or a sound mind. You just think about yourself and being protected, all right, or running away. But what he is saying is if you have faith and you believe and pray, it's not in your own strength. That's why we pray. It will be done. So what I was saying, I pray that God protects the parents, teachers, staff, and students. And then when I leave, I also pray, God, if there is somebody in this nation trying, or even around the world, trying to harm children today, let their plans be faltered, oh God. Your word says, let them be caught in their own snare. All right? And I prayed, and then I see on the news, oh, and then let me be clear, I don't watch the news. I get my news from Twitter, okay? That's how I catch my news. If something happens, it's on Twitter. But when we begin to pray, we have to expect these things to happen. Even if they don't believe, we expect it to happen. I have somebody that I've been praying for. They've been going through certain things in their life, and I'm expecting it to happen, but he's not so sure about it. And every time I pray, I say, man, let me know when God does it, because I expect it to happen. I don't care what you believe. I'm trying to let you know that my God is able. So what it says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Some of us don't receive the prayers that we are praying because we're not really believing in it. God, hopefully, have you ever heard somebody pray like this? Lord, hopefully we can have a good day. God, hopefully we can. What good is that? You don't believe. God is hope. So it's not hopefully. God, you are hope. So thank you that you are going to move on our behalf. This is the will of God for you. Amen?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
All right. It says, when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? All right, now whose will are they in? They're in their own will because they're questioning the will of God. But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. And then he said, the baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from man? Now, Jesus was cold, because what he's really doing is revealing the hearts of the Pharisees every time this stuff happens. Okay? And it wasn't just to show that their hearts were in the wrong place. I really believe that God was doing that to try to touch their hearts so they know they need to change. But I don't know about you. If somebody ever told you something you didn't want to hear, sometimes you don't want to hear it. And you're like, man, you get upset. Has that happened to you before? Somebody tell you the right thing to do. You didn't want to hear it, so you got mad. And you're like, I ain't going to listen to that person. Sound like my dad. So he's trying to get at their heart, which really means he's trying to see where their will is coming from. And it says, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we don't know. And he said, neither will I tell you what authority I do these things. Because of the fear of people, they couldn't even answer. They didn't have an answer. And to be honest, who knows what they even believed? I'm pretty sure a couple of them believed one thing and the others believed the other thing. But because they wanted to be liked by everybody, they wanted to play it safe. And you cannot live for God and always play it safe. Right? There's going to be a time where somebody tells you, hey, Christianity, Muslims, and everything, it's all the same, ain't it? And one time you're going to have to say, no, it's not. I know we just all trying to get along, right? We all want to sing Kumbaya. And even when you say that, you don't know what you're saying, right? But we all want to get around and hug each other and tell everybody that, everything works together. We coexist. You guys heard about that before, coexist? I remember, this is funny to me, because one time I was at Alki, and this lady came to me and said, hey, oh, I'm a Christian. She was like, oh, I believe in coexist. And, you know, isn't that great that we believe the same thing? I was like, no, we don't believe the same thing. Because your coexist, when you say coexist, you mean God is good, Buddha is good, Muhammad is good, Krishna is good, you know, all these different things. You believe in all these things. And then I asked this lady, what happens when they don't agree with each other? And then she was like, oh, you know, she didn't have an answer. She kind of got upset. And I was like, well, Christianity is different because it's the only way to God. First of all, that's what the Bible says. But it's the only, if you want to call it a religion, it's the only religion where you trust in God and thank and accept his sacrifice instead of us giving a sacrifice to the God that we serve. Okay? Now, we believe in being living sacrifices, holy and pleasing in God, but without accepting Jesus, we have nothing. So if we take Jesus out the picture, yeah, we could be the same. We might do a lot of the same type of things, but when you say Jesus is our Lord and Savior and there is none besides him, that don't work for them. So I cannot, and we cannot play it safe when we try to do God's will. We have to be in his will despite what the, consequences may be. All right, verse 28, this is really what I wanted to get to. It says, but what do you think? Jesus said this. A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been that person that said, I don't want to do it before. And because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I had to go do it. Because you can't be too, you can't walk close with God and tell God, I'm not going to do something. That ain't going to work. Because what's going to happen? If you keep telling them, oh, all right, okay, are you really with me or not? I got something for you if you don't want it. And not only that, God will chastise in you. He will chastise you when you do not do the right thing. Spiritually whoop you, right? That's what he does. And he does it to get you back on track. Not to hurt you, but to get you back on track. But this son said, he was given instructions by his dad to go work in the vineyard, and he said no, but he went and did it anyway, okay? Then it says, then he came to his second son likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? Okay? Which of the two actually did it? Come on, somebody help me. The first one or the second one? First one's clear. Even though somebody said, I will do it, this shows you that it's more than just saying I'm going to do something. Right? If I go to your house and you say, hey, can you take out the garbage? And I tell you, yeah, I will, but I don't do it. Would you be happy about that? I really need you to take this, or let's make it something more crucial. I have to get it, deliver this package before 3 o'clock. Will you do it? Yes. And then they don't deliver it. Time sensitive. If you deliver for me, I get $1 million. Can you do it? Yes, and they don't do it. How would you feel about it? You'd be upset. But if somebody says no, but they go do it anyway, you're like, man, thank you. You're a lifesaver. I didn't even expect you to do it. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him the first, Jesus said. Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Now, where does that come from? Where he's like, tax collectors and harlots? We didn't see that in that passage, but what he is saying is those who first said no to God but ended up following God made a difference and it changed their lives because they accepted the will of God. Amen? So you might say no right now, or maybe there's somebody that you've shared the gospel with, and they said no right now. But eventually they end up saying yes. It's a life changer. They surrender their will. You can have somebody that says, yes, God, I'll do this, I'll do it. And then when it really gets down to it, they just said yes. They didn't surrender. You could talk a lot, but not mean a lot. Or you could talk a lot, but not do a lot. The kingdom of God, my favorite scripture is the kingdom of God, and it's in 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not about talk, but is about power. Okay? We could talk about the gospel all that we want to, but if there's no power around it or in it, what good is it? It makes us sound just like a good philosopher. And there's plenty of good philosophers in the world. But when you back it with power, with the anointing, it changes things. So he said, surely I say to you, tax collectors and harlots, enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in a way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. Jesus wants us to walk in his will. Like I continue to say, our will has to be shaped by knowing God. It's so disappointing when people really think they're walking in God's will and they get a word that's not from God, but they don't know it. And unfortunately, those people seem like they will go the hardest for a word that's not really from God, but they thought it was from God. They were deceived. So in order to know the will of God, as I have been saying constantly, we have to be in the Word of God. You don't know the will of God without knowing God's Word. It's that simple. You can go to churches all you want. You can listen to gospel music all you want. And that's good. I definitely say that's good. But you must know his word for yourself. The Bible says we must study to show ourselves approved. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We must know his word. Then we will know his will. Then we can walk in his will and know the purpose of God for our lives. Amen? The will of God. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it or are you going to not do it? That's the question. Are you going to produce the figs that God has called you to produce? Or are you going to say it's insignificant? I don't think it's important to God. And we've all been there. We've all done that, like I said before. But know that whatever God has put in your spirit, as long as it lines up with his word, bless you, it is significant. We hear people here say words like extraordinary, right? If you're just ordinary and you have God on your side, he makes it extraordinary. If you're just natural and you have God, it makes it supernatural. Amen? We must walk in his will. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word, God. I pray to God that your word would speak to us, dear God. Speak to us purpose. Speak to us life. Speak to us the will that you have for each and every one of us. God, we don't want to just be people that go to church, but God, we want to be your church and impact this world. We want to see lives impacted. Even in our own individual lives, dear God, so that we can come together and rejoice in what you are doing amongst the body. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We pray that we walk in your will this day and not allow fear, not allow doubt, not allow our feelings of insignificance to hinder us from walking in what you've called us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say amen and amen. That was impactful to you. Go ahead, slip up your hand. Praise the Lord.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.